I was looking through my tool chest this morning for maps and things like that this morning, but I couldn't find one because nobody uses maps anymore. They all use their phone. But if you go and you're on a trip and you go to the ocean and the sign says Depot Bay, wherever at the ocean you're going, 37 miles, do you stop at the sign and say, man, the beach was fun? You don't stop at the sign 37 miles away and say, that beach was fun. No? Okay, good. And when you go to the beach, what's the best time to scour the beach? Tide's out, ebb tide, right? The low tide. Anybody been at the beach at low tide? No? I'm sorry. Deeply sorry. I don't normally get up. Normally when we're there, it seems like it's at 2 in the morning or something like that. And, you know, why would you go to bed if you're just going to get back up at 2 in the morning? Anyway, so this scripture is one of those tide spots in scripture where God pulls back the curtain just a bit. So it's really a low tide. There's 4 of them in the book of Revelation. The first one, Behold, I stand, and there is a door opened in heaven, Revelation chapter 4, and suddenly you get this beautiful, vibrant vision in Revelation 4 about the throne room of God, where God has opened up the throne room, and you get to see who's in charge. We have the second one of those spots in Revelation right now in this text. And so when we get there, I'm going to read that. I just want you to be aware that that's what's going on, that there's 4 of these openings or low tides, ebb tides, the most visible spots where you can see something. This is one of them today. Now, I'm starting just a couple verses earlier than the bulletin says, because as the book of Revelation, the pattern is that there would be 6 trumpets, and we've talked about the 6 trumpets, and then there's a pause or an interlude, and then the 7th trumpet. I didn't want you to think I was ignoring the 7th trumpet, so I'm going to read it. Then the 7th angel blew his trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God, this is a remembrance also. If we go back to Revelation 4, the 24 elders are the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 disciples all represented in the whole kingdom of God. The 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to thee, Lord God Almighty, who is and was and who has taken thy great power and begun to reign. That's a change in the standard formula, isn't it? Who was and is to come. In this case, it is who was and who has taken your great power and begun to reign. That's just be aware. Whenever you see a formula and it's got this slight change to it, just be aware something's going on. Then the nations raged, but thy wrath has came, and the time for the dead to be judged. The nations raged, and then God's judgment comes. That is Psalm 2. You should bring Psalm 2 straight to mind. I know you've all memorized all of the Old Testament, right? Psalm 2. It also has another thing in Psalm 2 where the nations rage, and God's judgment comes with a rod, and he governs them. So I want you to hear that, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, from Psalm 23. The rod actually shows up in Psalm 2 first, and it comes in later here too. And it's time to be judged, and for rewarding thy servants, the prophets and the saints, those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. That's this language. Then God's temple in heaven was opened. There's that word, opened. We're at ebb tide. We're going to get to see the beach, all the stuff on the beach, and how big heaven is right now. Opened. the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple, and there were flashes of lightning, voices, peals of thunder, and earthquake, and heavy rain. Now, remember, we're in a pictorial book, and not everything. We're not going to get bogged down in sort of wondering if every single thing has to be exactly as it said, because it's adding to the picture of what's going on. But when you see the Ark of the Covenant, a couple of things should come to mind, right? That the Ark of the Covenant used to be in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, in the temple, and only the high priest got to go in there once a year. Remember, John the Baptist's dad went in there, and he got to go in there once, and when he came out, he was struck dumb. Because he had met with God inside, or an angel, right? That God had spoken to him through an angel. But the Ark of the Covenant was originally the place where God met with his people. And wherever God meets with you, I want you to sort of hang on. Can you just grab the pew in front of you for a second? Right? When God speaks, sometimes it feels like the earth moves, doesn't it? And you just need to have a hold of something. Those of you who have had me walk up behind you and had me shake your chair, giving you a personalized earthquake, that's kind of the same situation, only with less power. And then a great sign appeared in heaven. Here's the sign, right? What's a sign? A sign means you've got to go someplace and see something. You don't stop at the sign and say, I got there. You're not driving up 395 and it says Colville, 37 miles. You don't pull over and say, man, Colville was awesome. Well, you might, but there's no reason to. There was a sign that appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Do you know who this woman is yet? Do you know, can you hear the echoes of the Bible stories and things like this to know who this woman is yet? Anyone? How about this? Who is the woman that is constituted by the moon and the stars and 12 tribes? Well, it would be Mary. Mary is part of this, yes. But at this time, right now, if you go back to Joseph's dream in Genesis 37, Joseph has this dream where he's standing there and the sun and the moon bow to him and the 11 other stars bow to him. The moon, the sun is Jacob, his father, and the moon is Rebecca, and then the other 11 disciples do this. So if the sun and the moon, if she's a woman clothed in the crown with 12 stars and she's clothed with the sun and the moon at her feet, this is Israel. I just want you to say, you should hear that echoes from Scripture. Also know that Israel is often referred to as a woman of God's love and care, his bride throughout the Old Testament. There's whole bunches of places where you do this, but you need to be really careful about that woman distinction, because in the Old Testament, right, the priest represents God, and then the woman is what happens to the people. So if you go into the Old Testament too far, you end up with Amos and Hosea prophesying at the same time. And Amos goes to the high priest and says, you're doing it wrong. He does. I gloss, but that's what he said. You're doing it wrong. And the high priest said, well, you're just a dresser of fig trees, right? You're just the person that prunes the trees and all this. You should go away and let the professionals handle it. And does it ever work out for the lower employee to go to the boss and say, you're doing it wrong? Well, this is kind of what he said. And then he said, because you've been a priest in this way, your wife will be sold into prostitution and your children into slavery. Look, it's possible to be a priest of so bad a system that it causes the people to fall away from God. The reason I bring this up is Hosea, who's not a priest, right? Not a priest. He does the role of the priest, and he's called by God to buy his wife out of prostitution and his children out of slavery, right? That the priest of God, the true priest of God, finds a way to make a way for God's people to be free instead of a false priest, which sends his people into slavery. the woman, where all the way through the Old Testament, she's disobedient and caught in adultery, spiritual adultery. This is this woman here. The sign, okay, a sign is important because it points to a greater reality. Just need to just do this. Whenever there's a sign. And she was with child, and she cried out in birth pangs, in agony for delivery. And then another sign appeared in heaven. Okay, what did I just say about a sign? A sign means it points to a different reality. This picture points to something. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems upon its head. Its tail swept down and a third of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child, that he might devour her child when she brought it forth. Who's the dragon biblically? Can we just ask? It's a couple of realities. There's about 4 right answers here. It's multiple guess, and they're almost all right. Okay, the dragon is Herod, who represents the government of Rome, which is a town with 7 hills and 10 emperors and all that. So there's the countries, the worlds of the world, right? Because a head is the authority in the world, right? So Jesus is the head of the church. He's the authority of the church. He's in charge, right? We're not making that up. That's actual reality. Okay, and horns are strength. Remember that if something has 7 horns, it's really powerful, right? Because it's got complete strength and power. And 7, and diadems. Diadems are wealth. So Rome has authority, strength, and wealth. You know, like Babylon did before that. And then Assyria before that. And Egypt before that. And sort of the United States right now. Lots of authority, lots of wealth, lots of power. Maybe not completely. Always, I don't have to go on anymore with that. We'll go down that road at a different time. And the dragon is Satan, right? That he sweeps his tail and a third of the angels fall. Isn't that what we're told in the Bible, that as Satan brings a third of the angels with him? Anyway, here it is. She brought forth a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. There's that rod from Psalm 2. But her child was caught up to God in his throne. Now notice that when it starts with the child, it doesn't say this is a sign. This is reality. There is a child. We're now talking about reality. And God was, and he was to rule all the nations, but her child was caught up to heaven, to God and to his throne. Who's that? Jesus. Perfect Sunday school answer, and right. In this case, Jesus is the one. Now, he's not a sign. He's real. So we've had signs, and now we got a real thing. Here we go. We just keep talking through this. Let's see, where were we? And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she was placed to a place prepared by God, which was nourished for 1,260 days. There's that weird number again, which is 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. It's all the same number, and it always means, in the book of Revelation, between the time between the first advent, the very first Christmas, and the second advent, the coming of our Lord. It's a very large non-specific time that means the time between the times. Here we are. I just keep going because this does lead somewhere later. I promise. Now a war arose in heaven, and Michael and his angels were fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Do you hear that? There's no place for Satan in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. So he's making very specific who this dragon is now. Good. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down too. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. I just want to pause for a second. Now, the power of God, the authority of his Christ, and the power of his Spirit have come. Now. We call that the coming kingdom of God, don't we? Our future, we want to live in that spot where everything on earth as it is as it is in heaven. Always. Yet that's now. Now. We're going to deal with now in just a... I want you can lick your finger and put it in your Bible if you hold, and just hold that now for a second, because that's going to be a big deal when we get to the point, you know, finally. And I lost my place. Now is the salvation and the power of our kingdom of our God, the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Okay, I have to take you. What happens with the accuser in the throne room of God and us? Do you know where that scripture is? How many of you have ever seen a sign off on an email from me that said a stick snatched from the fire? Zechariah 3. Here it is. I'm going to read it. This is, by the way, because I viewed myself as a stick snatched from the fire, because, you know, sticks in a fire don't have any future. Unless somebody snatches them out of the fire, that's the only way that stick has any future, is something outside itself grabs it. Then the angel showed me Joshua, or Yeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Yeshua. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, rebuke you. Reject your accusation, Satan. Yet the Lord, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. That's pretty cool, except for there's more here. Yeshua's clothing were filthy, and he stood there before the angel. And so the angel said to the others standing there, take off his filthy clothes. And turning to Yeshua, he said, see, I have taken away your sins, and now I am giving you these fine new clothes. Then I said, they should also place a clean turban on his head. And so they put a clean turban on his head and dressed him in the new clothes, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And then the angel of the Lord spoke very solemnly to Yeshua and said, this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. If you follow my ways and carefully serve me, then you will be given authority over my temple and its courtyards, and I will walk with you among those standing here. This is very cool stuff, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? If you'll be careful to follow my things, then you'll get to walk here amongst these who are listen to me, O Yeshua the high priest, and all the other priests. You are a sign of things to come. Soon I'm going to bring my servant, the branch. Now look at the jewel I have set before you, a single stone with seven facets, perfect stone, right? Seven facets. And I'll engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and here's the kicker, and I'll remove the sins of the land in a single day. Okay. The whole thing starts to come to mind here. Who's who, what's going on? Have you seen this? If you will obey my commandments, they'll know you're my followers if you obey my commandments, if you love one another. It's so exciting. The accuser has been thrown down, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Rejoice then, O heaven, that you that dwell therein. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. Why is the devil so mad? Because the egg timer is ticking. And away he goes. He doesn't get to just keep adjusting it, because he's not in charge. He has lost a battle. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had borne the male child. But the woman was given two great wings of an eagle to fly. Have you ever read Psalm 91 on eagle's wings? See, all the images are here, aren't they? If you just let the old things just, when you go, where have I heard that before? For a time and times and a half time. There it is. This is how Daniel says it. For a time, two times, and a half time. 3.5 years. There's that number. 3.5, 42 months, 1,260 days. So they're retelling the story again. Just so you see. And then the servant poured out water like a river from his mouth. He spewed. What does the devil spew? Accusations and deceit. But the earth came to the help of the woman, of the church in this case, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river which the dragon had poured from his mouth. And then the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring. So she had this one offspring named Jesus, who, and the church and Israel had this one offspring that his name was Jesus. Who are the rest of his of the people of God's offspring? Us, the church. But not just us sitting in this room, us sitting in everywhere where we worship God, this one true God. This is us. He went to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and bear the testimony of Jesus, and he stood on the land and the sea. Okay, so where am I going with all this fun and games? I'm going to this. Now is the time. Have you ever heard that in Scripture? Is there anything that comes to mind with now is the time? Now is the time in the New Testament. When is now? Now is the time of salvation of our souls. Why? Because if you want to be in part of God's kingdom, then you need to understand that now is the time to act to make sure that you're in that kingdom. And if you haven't done that, then now's the time to plead the blood of Christ. Now, this has this promise of trouble for the church. And I need to let you know that I know the church has struggled a little bit. Do you know how I know that? Because I struggle a little bit. And if you ever struggle? Sometimes it's because I did stuff, and I deserve to struggle for that. And sometimes it's the twisted little truths that our world has. By the way, that battle for truth occurs every time the truth is twisted. There's our political game right there on both sides. There's enough of that ick to go around. Remember, ick, one of the three types of sins, the stuff that I do that gets on others, the stuff they do that gets on me, and the stuff we all wander around in day and night. Ick. Look, this is a struggle. Now is the time of salvation, but how do we stand up in that fight? I don't want you to just sit there and go, how do we stand up in the fight? Look, the fight is this thing. There's accusations, there's deceit, there's these twisted lies, and then there's the wages of sin is death. By the way, the wages of something is the amount you earn for your behavior. So if you have a job and you work 3 hours, you get paid for 3 hours. That's how that works. The wages of sin is death. So how do you stand up in this? This is in this text right here. How do you stand up against the accusations? You bear the testimony that Jesus is Lord. How do you do that? First off, you take that roiling struggle in your stomach that makes you uncomfortable and you say, I seem to be kind of unable to get rid of this. Have you ever had that stuff and you could just fix it? How do you fix accusations biblically? How does the Bible say that you fix an accusation against you? You go to Jesus, right? The way to fix an accusation is to go, you come out into the light of the day and you go, I did it, I need help, forgive me. That's exactly how you fix. By the way, you could go to John 3:17-21, and it says, those who are obeying God come out into the light of day to show that they're doing what God wants. What God wants is you to stop hiding and being afraid of accusations. And the way to do that is to go to the source of forgiveness and get the forgiveness. See, I've made that clear. How do you get away from accusations? Because you did stuff.
But if you admit you did stuff, then who can hold that over you? Do you feel the freedom of forgiveness? That means that, look, I don't need to point the bony finger of indignation at anybody in the room because I did stuff. I've got enough ick in me that I don't have to look at anybody else. But the way you fix that accusation is you say, I need help, and I can't do it, and I need forgiveness. Okay, that's the accusation. What about deceit? How do you figure out the deceit? How do you stand in the middle of a spot when deceit is flying this way and that way, and how do you do that? See this thing? Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. He who lives in me shall never die, right? But before he says that, he says, look, you got to put, there's all sorts of places in there. Those who obey my commands, those who rightly divide the word of truth, that's all about Jesus being the truth. Well, if you want to know about the truth, you got to put it in you. I know in no other way. You can sit here and have me talk till I'm blue in the face. Now, I'm completely willing to do that. But it still doesn't work for you. What works for you is that you read this thing. And of course, you're gonna get to spots in it where you go, wait, this doesn't make any sense. Am I wrong? Have any of you ever been confused? How about confused in the Bible? Have you just been confused in the Bible? Have you been confused outside of the Bible? Okay, so just get used to it. You're going to be confused every once in a while. Don't stop. You didn't stop living your life because the world confused you. Don't stop reading the Bible. Look, part of the reason that I know that Psalm 2 has the rod and the nations raging, and Psalm 23 says your rod and your staff, they comfort me, and Psalm 91 is that he lifts us up on eagle's wings. The way I know that is I read that, and the first time I read it, I was, huh? I mean, you can just hear me. Here, let me. Can all of us just say that once with us? Huh? Okay. So you're all in perfect practice now. Just keep going because you need to put it in you because the Holy Spirit will bring up from whatever you put in your heart, but it has to be stored there first. Okay. First thing was that you come clean. Right. Only you can't do that on your own. You do that because there was a battle in heaven, that there was an event on earth that changed everything, the cross. The Son was born, and he was approved and moved into heaven right in there. That's, look, we're not skirting over the cross by not having it in there. If we were Eastern Orthodox in our faith, then we would know that as soon as Jesus was born, the cross was a foregone conclusion. That's the way they look at it. His birth means forgiveness is there because he ain't going to fail. There's something in that that's very beautiful, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to have known that as soon as there's that baby grasping Mary's hand, forgiveness is within our reach? It's way cool. Third thing. Second accusation, you come clean. Third thing, you get to know the truth. Now, there's all sorts of things I can say here, but Jesus wrote you a love letter. And if you got a love letter from your bride or your groom or the love of your life, you'd read it. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to stop right there, okay? Third thing, the wages of sin is death. How do you stand up in the midst of in a world that's dying where everything you do seems to lead to death? You start to share the truth and the life. The gospel brings life and a new life to you. That's how you do it. When the dragon has all this power and sweeps away a third of heaven, the only way to know that you are there, that you can see the stone in front of you, and behold, God will remove the sin of the land in a single day. Look, I know some of you don't like it when I quote the Old Testament endlessly. Look, there's some stuff in there you got to know. Long before Jesus came, he promised the removal of the sin of the land. Long before, even before that, he said to Mary or to Adam and Eve in the garden, the serpent will strike your heel, but the son you bear shall stomp on his head.
That's the Jesus dude. Get to know him. I think I'm done here. If you're confused, like this, okay, Sandy, how can we finish for you? That sounds like I need to talk to you on the side over here later. Let's all pray us out of this moment, shall we? Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for rooms with fabulous stained glass, but also with air conditioning on hot summer days. I thank you for your gifts of your Son and the power to plead the blood of your Son. Move in our lives, move in us, Lord, as we thank you and call everything into order under you. Amen.